It's Bullseye on the afternoon here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. Cavaliers basketball coming your way later tonight. The Cavs are playing host to the Toronto Raptors down at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. And thanks to our good friends at North Ridgeville, convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. That's a place you should make your Super Bowl headquarters if you haven't already. We are going to head back to the hotline and welcome in the voice of the Cavaliers, Tim Alcorn. Make sure that you're dialed in at the end of our conversation because we are giving away tickets to a future Cavaliers game as well. Tim, a pleasure as always, my friend. How are you?
It is great to be with you again, Bull. And, boy, it's good to be home for a while. We only had the quick trip up to Detroit on Monday, so it's been good to be back in the area and get some things done at home.
Well, let's dive right into the biggest news of the week, not exactly as it pertains to the Cavs, but as it pertains to the NBA. You know, the entire world being in some way, shape, or form affected by the passing of Kobe Bryant and his daughter. And, you know, I know you had told us some of the details when we spoke with you at the Countdown to the Cavs show a couple of days ago. But for those that didn't get the chance to hear, you know, how you and the entire team found out about what was going on Sunday morning. And, again, just kind of sent shockwaves throughout the entire NBA world.
Yeah, it was it was Sunday afternoon, but we were on the team plane, and it's a very short flight up to Detroit. So we were on the team plane literally moments away from departing, and most of the people from the Cavs organization who fly with the team were on board, but folks were still on their phones. I was not, actually, and there were a couple of people that was you heard like a gasp and like, oh, no, and then I heard, Kobe Bryant, a helicopter crash. And I'm like, what is going on? And so, you know, of course, I then got my phone out and got onto social media and just, you know, this stunning news that was just spreading like wildfire in regards to this horrible helicopter accident. Now, at that point, it was just the name Kobe Bryant as the word was just getting out. And it was just so surreal, Bull, because there were still a few people that had to get on the plane that were just walking up the tarmac or coming up the stairs, and so, you know, they didn't know, so they were rather jovial. Hey, how's it going? Good to see everybody. And then they saw the looks on people's faces and just this silence in the plane, and they're like, you know, what's going on? And, you know, of course, you would hear, you know, did you hear about Kobe Bryant? There's word about Kobe Bryant. And yeah, it's one of those things, Bull, you know, when horrific tragic things happen, you always seem to remember where you were and what you were doing right at the moment that you heard the news. And boy, I'll never forget it. And as I mentioned to you and Scott Zarilla on the Countdown show, normally a flight, whether it's short or long, you know, there's banter on the plane, there's, you know, joking and laughing and just conversations. And that flight to Detroit, now it is a very short flight, but it was just absolutely silent on that flight. Nobody was saying a word, and there was just, you know, the looks on people's faces and the disbelief. You know, it's something I'll never ever forget.
Yeah, and of course, the NBA and all of the NBA teams tastefully done. They've had some nice tributes to Kobe over the last few days as well, and we expect that that will certainly continue throughout the rest of the season. All right, Tim, onto the floor now with the Cleveland Cavaliers. And well, they went through a bit of a rut there for a while, but then they were able to come away with a victory in Detroit on Monday. That was followed by a loss against the Pelicans on Tuesday night. So I want to get your three major takeaways from these last couple of games, because sometimes numbers can be a little bit deceiving, and, you know, there's some things the Cavaliers do that may not always translate to good numbers, but you can still see the growth in what they're doing. So as far as that goes, Tim, what are some of your three takeaways, or what are some of your takeaways from the last couple of games?
Well, we usually do the three takeaways, so I would say number one, boy, that win in Detroit was a badly needed victory. The Cavs had gone into that on a seven-game losing streak, and of course, with the death of Kobe Bryant and all the others, the eight others on that helicopter, the mood was just somber. And not that a win in a basketball game can elevate everybody. There's going to be a mourning process for quite a long time, but for the Cavaliers, they needed a win, number one, just psychologically on the basketball side of things. And I think, you know, with Larry Nance having played with Kobe Bryant. Kevin Love played with him somewhat, with some international teams and so forth. So that being said, I just think it for a short time, it lifted their spirits, and I think that was a good thing. Second takeaway is, boy, is it good to have Kevin Porter Jr. back on the floor. I know before he injured that knee, Bull, that it seems like during these weekly WEOL chats, I was singing the praises of this young man. He's going to be, or he has the potential, let me say that, he has the potential to be a big-time player. And you can just feel his energy when he comes back out onto the floor. It's an amazing thing. And for the Cavs to get the performance they got out of him Monday night in the win over Detroit in his first game back, and even though they lost to New Orleans the following night, Kevin Porter, I believe, had 21 in that ball game, 5 3 balls. This young man's dynamic. I keep saying it. Now you're going to put up with some things as an 18-year-old player. And we saw that against New Orleans, too. You know, some careless turnovers. He kind of got lost out there on a couple of possessions. But, boy, he's got some raw potential that should really get folks excited. And then takeaway number three is, it's not really in a game or with a player, but boy, the Cavs have to find a way. And again, we all know the process, as you termed it, and what the Cavs are doing, but they've got to find a way to establish some sort of home court good feeling. I would even call it a home court advantage right now because they're so young, but tough game tonight against Toronto. And, Bull, if they don't win this one tonight, they will go 0 for January at home. Now, again, we had the long, stretch in the middle there where we were on the road. But, boy, as a young team, one of the things you want to do is at least develop a good feeling on your home floor so that when other teams come in, they're not comfortable playing on your floor. And the Cavs, for some reason, they haven't found that yet, so, or at least in the last month. So I think that's takeaway number three, that I'm sure that's one of the point of emphasis that will be, during the second half, even though we're past the halfway point. But we find a way to get some wins at home.
You mentioned it. We're past the halfway point, and the growth process is something that you hear referenced a ton. Tim, in your eyes, do you see a couple of specific elements where you really feel like the Cavaliers have grown? Because, again, we can look at the box scores and we can play the percentages all day long and take a look at where the numbers tell us they have grown. But just based on the pure solid eye test, are there some areas you think they really have grown a ton this season?
I do. I think their decision-making process is improving. Now, it's nowhere near where it should be. But again, you're dealing with a couple of teenagers in your backcourt, and truly they're teenagers with Porter and Garland. And then Sexton's only 21 years old. So, but it's not quite to the level that it was earlier in the year, where those turnover numbers were constantly in the mid to high 20s. We've seen some games as of late where the turnover numbers are in the teens. So again, that's an improvement. You're seeing that start to at least get better. I know John Beilein would like it to get a lot better, and we all would, but I think we're seeing progress there. I think we're seeing progress from some of those role players, especially Larry Nance. Boy, he's had 4 double-doubles in his last 5 games, and his shot has really improved. So as far as a particular player, I would say Larry Nance, and even Darius Garland, even though you kind of sense he's hit that rookie wall. I think that's why they gave him Tuesday night off, just to say, okay, we'll give you, the game Monday in Detroit, but then you're going to kind of slow you down Tuesday and Wednesday and have you ready to go on Thursday's game, tonight's ball game. So I think that's but Darius Garland's play overall, I think you see an uptick there. And certainly as far as the Cavs are concerned, it's ironic that I mentioned that they haven't had a great month at home in January. They haven't won a game. They've already surpassed last year's road win total. Last year, boy, Bull, it's hard to believe, they were 6-35 on the road. Now, we've already gotten 7 road wins this year. Now, I'm not saying they're going to go 500 on the road. They're not going to get 14 more road wins. But so they're developing some confidence on the road, and I think we saw that on the West Coast. So I think those are good signs for the Cavaliers. Those are signs of progress.
Again, we're speaking with Tim Alcorn, the voice of the Cavaliers, thanks to our good friends at North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. In just a few moments, we will open the phone lines and give you an opportunity to win some Cavaliers tickets. All right, Tim, just a couple of other things I want to dive into here as well. You talked about the play of Larry Nance Jr. Very, very difficult to ignore what he's done since coming back a couple of weeks ago. Now, looking at the box score from that Pelicans game a couple of nights ago, Tim, that second unit was terrific. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, 7 of the 8 players that came off the bench, as far as the plus-minus numbers go, they all registered positive numbers. And I think there's something to be said for that because this is a bunch that really has drastically improved throughout the year.
I would absolutely agree with that point, Bull. I 100% agree with that. And, boy, you look back to that New Orleans game, you know, the Cavaliers were down 22 and they were floundering. And John Beilein goes to the bench and it's guys like Larry Nance and Alphonso McKinney and KP. Kevin Porter came in and they got the team back in the ball game. They had it down to an 8-point game. And I think the guys just kind of ran out of gas. They're not used to playing that many consecutive minutes. I'm not here to speak for John Beilein, but I'm wondering if he was tempted to keep them in as long as he could because that was the unit that got them back in the ball game. So, absolutely, they got some quality minutes and some quality production off that bench on Tuesday night. And I think John Beilein, I mentioned earlier, you know, welcome back Kevin Porter. I think he's now very comfortable looking to that bench, and you've got KP and you've got Larry Nance. You know, we've talked about John Henson before. He gives you some length in the middle. And McKinney, boy, he's on that second 10-day contract. And, you know, the Cavs are going to have a decision to make. But he's been productive when he comes off that bench.
Yeah, he's been very good when he comes off the bench. And he's a big part of why that particular unit has been one of the bright spots on this team this season. Tim, let's talk about some of the starters here. You know, we're getting awfully close to some decisions being made at the All-Star break. And last year, Colin Sexton really kind of thought he was a bit snubbed when it came to being one of the rising stars to plan some of the festivities over All-Star weekend. There's a chance for him to get there. I believe a decision will come down the pipe on Friday. You know, sometimes guys will tell you, things like that, they're part of the sideshow. They don't necessarily matter. He hasn't really shied away from that, though. And, well, Tim, I think he's made a pretty compelling argument for himself that in some form or fashion, he should be a part of that All-Star weekend.
Well, again, his play has spoken for itself. I mean, he's had 25-point games on numerous 25-plus on numerous occasions. He's led the Cavs in scoring, I think, 21 times this year. So he is a scoring guard. That's what he does, and he does it well. He scores the basketball. So I would think he's making a very strong case for himself to be in that Rising Stars game. His numbers as far as point production certainly are at the top in regards to, you know, guys who have come in the last year or two. He gives the Cavs steady point production game in and game out.
Well, one other question I want to ask you before we get to tonight's game against Toronto. You know, we certainly can't avoid the monster that was in the gym on Tuesday. Everybody was excited to see the play of the first overall pick in the NBA draft from this past year made by the New Orleans Pelicans, Zion Williamson. He brought with him a host of media members that were appearing for not necessarily the first time at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, but certainly appearing for the first time in a while. And it was a lot of fun to see that. It made for an interesting night on Tuesday night. You know, Tim, your general impressions. It was fun to watch him warm up because he was just such a monster, such a physical specimen. But your thoughts on his play on Tuesday against the Cavs?
Well, I thought he had, you know, as any rookie would, some ups and downs, some good moments, and some moments where he looked like a 19-year-old rookie out there. But all in all, you can just see he does have stardom written all over him. He's special, and he's a physical specimen. You use that and describe that very well. He's got a body that is built for the NBA. And he's going to be electric, as you mentioned during the countdown show the other day, Bull, if he stays healthy. Or maybe it was Z-Man that mentioned that. But, yeah, he's got a history of injuries. But, boy, if he can stay healthy, he can be a real megastar in the NBA. And, you know, he certainly didn't have that big-time flashy performance on Tuesday night. But then you look at the box score, and I think it was 14-7 or 14-8, and you thought, well, that's pretty pedestrian, and yet that's also very productive. And once he blends into that New Orleans Pelicans lineup, they're going to be dangerous, Paul. I mean, that's a nice team. You got Drew Holiday, you got Brandon Ingram, you got Redick off the bench. Now you've got Zion. If they get in as the number 8 or the number 7, I don't think that's a welcome matchup for who's ever 1 or 2, because New Orleans can be very, very dangerous.
Yeah, they've got tons of good young talent. There's no question about that. Well, as we mentioned, Cavaliers taking on the defending champs, the Toronto Raptors, at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse tonight. Tim, you mentioned it. This is the opportunity for the Cavaliers to try and avoid going 0-for at home in the month of January. What are some matchups that you're looking forward to tonight as we get a bit of a preview of what's going to happen at 7:10 this evening?
Well, this will be the third time I get to see this Toronto team. Of course, the first two were up in Toronto, so their first and only visit to Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. And you mentioned matchups, and boy, this is a tough matchup as you look at it on paper and you look at it position by position for the Cavaliers. Siakam is really growing into a star in Toronto. Of course, they won the world championship last year with Kawhi, so he departs, but Siakam has really picked up his game. He's terrific, so there's a tough matchup. Lowry in the backcourt, that savvy veteran. And again, the Cavs guards are young with a ton of potential, but, you know, Lowry has that veteran experience, so, you know, getting a hold of him and being able to contain him in the backcourt, that's tough. Gasol is a tough matchup for the Cavs. So, you know, sometimes on paper you look at a matchup and you go, boy, this just doesn't favor us. But, you know, that being said, there's a reason you go out on the floor, you roll the ball out, and you play the game. And so, you know, I'm sure the Cavs are going to try to draw up something. But matchup-wise, it's a tough one. And I mentioned Kawhi leaving, but, Bull, so many guys that are back from that team last year that won the NBA World Championship. So they know what it takes to win. They know what it takes to be a quality team night in and night out. So this will be a tall order for the Cavaliers tonight.
No question about that. Well, Tim, as always, we appreciate the time, my friend. Thank you for joining us, and we wish you the best of, I should say, we look forward to hearing your call tonight. You don't need luck. You've done enough of these now. You don't need luck anymore, but we look forward to hearing the call a little bit later on tonight. We look forward to doing this again next week.
Bull, I'll take good luck wishes anytime you want to pass them along. Believe me, I won't turn those down, but no, I look forward to getting back in that Joe Tate perch tonight, and trying to give the listeners a fun broadcast with Jim Jones.
You guys always do. Great, great stuff. Tim, as always, we appreciate the time, my friend. That's Tim Alcorn, the voice of the Cleveland Cavaliers. And now it's time for us to open up the phone lines, 440-322-0930. Thanks to North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads, we are giving away tickets to a future Cavaliers game. Which game? Call me up and find out. 440-322-0930. We will come back with more after this here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM.